But not talking about those, because apostle means one who sent. Jesus sent them out, remember? To go out and preach and to exorcise demons and things like this. And when he sent them out, he actually sent out 70. 2 by 2. But they were small letter A apostles. The apostles with a capital A, they were the 12, essentially, plus Paul, plus Mattathias. Mattathias, by the way, was a Hebrew name, and it means gift of Yahweh. Just like Matthew means the same thing, gift of God. But disciples, with a capital D. The word disciple itself, you get a Latin lesson today, it's from Latin. The word is discere. Discere means to grasp intellectually, to analyze thoroughly. A word we get discerned from. See, I took Latin in high school from a woman named Luther. Or his last name. She was an interesting character. Her father was a colonel in the SS during the Second World War. Mariana Luther. Interesting gal. So I took Latin in high school. Figured it would help in my scientific career. It didn't. So I'm semi-illiterate in that language, too. But it turns into discipulus, which means a student, a follower. A noun. A noun. And over time, through French, Old French and Middle English, the word discipulus became disciple. Meaning a student, a follower, someone who learns and puts into action. Person became a disciple of somebody else, a philosopher, a professor, a guru, maybe even this guy Jesus. And over time, up until today, especially prevalent today, the small D letter disciple was replaced with a capital D. In Christian circles. If I say Dean is a disciple with a capital D, I don't have to go any farther. People know that means he's a Christian. For whatever good it's worth, when you see the word disciple with a capital D today in print, it almost exclusively means Christian. But then, that noun came first, full circle back, and became a verb again. It sounds horrifically bad to me, though. You're going to get picked on today. Hi, Steve, I'm here to disciple you. You heard that expression? I'm here to disciple you, Bob. You heard that expression? It sounds stupid to me because we think of disciple as you are a disciple. You are a noun. And here I'm going to noun you? No. One of those very confusing things where it's both a noun and a verb. But that's what Jesus did. He was calling his men and his women to both be the disciple and to be discipled and to disciple somebody else. As a Christian, you are called to follow Jesus. And you are called to become a disciple, one who learns and one who follows. And you are called to be discipled, to learn. And you are called to disciple somebody, to teach, to support, to help them along the way. Part of the baptismal vows are to the congregation, do you promise to uphold and help this new baptized person on their growth and their life? You ever paid attention to baptismal vows? Did a lot of them in prison, and we asked the congregation of inmates, do you promise to help these guys go through? And most of the guys I baptized had not any contact with the faith beforehand. So the men sitting in the pews were taking on a huge responsibility. If you've never been baptized before, when we baptize you here in this place, and I ask that question, the rest of you say, yes, we promise to do this, and he moves to Arkansas. Guess what? The church you joined in Arkansas are obligated because you took those vows for them too. Because we are all connected. So Jesus has these new disciples, these bounty hunters, these fishers of men, and he's making them into followers of himself. With just a word, follow me. Interestingly, the book of John, he tells a story that two of them come up to him and say, hey, Master, where are you staying? He doesn't say 1485 Park Place. He says, come and see. Another favorite expression that Jesus uses, come and see. So you know what they did? They came and saw. They followed him. Which didn't mean, oh, left turn. Didn't mean they followed him. They did that. But they also, stand up for a minute, Bob. They also walked me a little bit. They also did this. Okay? They walked together and they talked as they went. Okay? Sometimes it was literally following in footsteps. Other times it was, you know, how are we doing today? Are we okay? You know, we followed together. Please sit down again. Thank you for your use as a prop. See, look at that. You can add another noun to your list of nouns. You're a prop now as well as a disciple. But that's what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower. It's also a companion. They ate, drank, slept, and were taught by Jesus for 3 years. Every day, all day. Sometimes in a town. I really can't call them a city. I mean, even Jerusalem, you know, it's not really a city. It's kind of just a big village kind of thing. But in those kind of areas, out in the desert, for 3 years. And that meant something then. When you had that close association for that time, no looking back. Again, there's an Old Testament passage where they say, don't hold on to that plow. When you go, go. That's what these guys did. They went. They went. We're in that same position. When we are born from above by water and the Spirit, we leave the world behind, the material world behind. We commit ourselves to Jesus. This little book says it will cost you everything. It's written by a guy named Steve Larson, who was a professor at Ligonier Bible College. He was the president of Master Seminary. Very smart guy. But he screwed up, had an affair, got tossed out of everything. But this book is actually signed by him. I know I had to stand in line to get it signed. And they made an exception for me to get it signed. I had two copies. One of them went to an inmate at the prison. And this is Andrew's copy. But this book talks about you lose everything. Possibility of when you become a real follower of Jesus. These guys learned. Because sometimes they were calm. Sometimes they were confused. Sometimes they were discouraged. But they had God with them, Emmanuel. We say that at Christmas, but do we believe it? And do we know it today? Because Jesus is with us today. Like he was right here. Here's Jesus. The old song about he lives in my heart. Truth. But, you know, it's really heart. And he's here. And here's the kicker. The understanding that makes it all worthwhile when it comes to Jesus, which is everything and anything in life, comes down to this. When it comes to be a follower of Jesus, we don't have to go out and fish for people. We don't have to interact with people. We don't have to do that. We get to. We have the privilege of doing Jesus, of being Jesus. St. Francis once said that you might be the only Bible some people ever read. as a story, joke, whatever it is, don't know if it's true or not, probably, as a middle-aged woman driving down the street, and all of a sudden she gets pulled over by a cop. She doesn't understand why. Cop walks up to the window. She rolls down the window. He says, officer, can I help you? License and registration. Just hands it over. Goes back to his car. Calls it up. Yep, valid license. Matches the registration. Car matches. He goes back and hands it back. Says, thank you, ma'am. You can go. I said, officer, what did you pull me over for? He said, well, ma'am, the way you were driving and cussing and hollering at people and everything you were doing, and then seeing all those Christian bumper stickers on your car, I figured the car was stolen. You might be the only Bible anybody ever reads. People look at you. They see you. And a lot of it is, what have you done for me lately? We get to be Jesus. We get the privilege of living out that way. And yeah, it might cost you. Living out your commitment to Jesus probably will cost you. And it can cost you everything. Material. It might cost you dollars because you can't work in a place anymore because of maybe it's a company that builds nuclear bombs and you can't handle that anymore. Maybe it's a company that traffics women. You can't do that anymore. Maybe it's a company that has an internal policy that puts down black folk. Can't do that anymore. So you quit and you can't find another job, so you got poor. All kinds of things. You might lose everything. You might lose friends. You might have family to cut you off. You might lose everything, quotes. But what you gain is unbelievable when you make that total commitment. And it's something you cannot ever lose. Last thing. Really. I'm not one of those guys that, well, finally, and then goes on for another 20 minutes. Last thing. Lee Greenwood has a song, God Bless the USA. Yeah, no, 5 minutes over. God Bless the USA. I stole it and changed it. If tomorrow all the things were gone I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just Jesus and my life, that changed it. I